What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Life After High School, the number one resource podcast in the entire world. I wouldn't say this to you guys if it was not purely factual. Brought to you by me, Glenn YG. I am your host and the man behind the microphone. Each week, we look to drop a new episode, so make sure you guys subscribe on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to also follow the podcast on social media at Life After High School 1. We've got a killer episode for you guys this week, so without further ado, let's dive right into it. Cue that intro, baby.
It's the Life After High School podcast.
TJ, I'm going to let you kind of introduce yourself. I want you to do it in a way that's taking us through kind of your life leading post-secondary school, right? So take us through kind of who you were around high school time and like to where we are now, and then we can go back through it full circle.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, high school is kind of like a mixed bag, you know, a bit of sports, a bit of, you know, running club. I was heavily involved in like music. So like band, choir, all that kind of stuff too. And, I was able to get into like different groups and stuff like that, you know, a little bit like the athlete side, a little bit of like the music side, was even part of like my high school musical and stuff like that. And then, went through like the 4 years of high school. And it was like kind of scraping by, you know, like I didn't have like, you know, honor roll grades, but, you know, enough to get me into university. And, you know, I was going to like all these university presentations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Laurentian actually stood out to me for a couple of reasons. Number one, it was kind of like in its own little world. And number two, they actually gave people, if you were the only one from your high school, which I was, I got an extra $4,000 to put towards my tuition. So that was kind of like, yeah. So it was amazing, right? Because, you know, I kind of get like a fresh start, you know, I'm kind of away from the parents, you know, kind of detach yourself from that environment, to start fresh, you know, build these skill sets that you really need for, you know, post-secondary, after life after university, right? You know, learning how to cook and, you know, be independent and not always have to depend on, you know, car rides to school or whatever it may be, right? And so I ended up going to Laurentian for a Bachelor of Science. And initially I wanted to, you know, be a teacher and stuff like that. But, you know, seeing all these things, like having to deal with 30 kids, all the parent-teacher interviews, I'm like, maybe not, right? But during school, I was able to work at a group home. And that's kind of where I kind of, you know, decided, hey, I want to work with people who work who are have special needs. So that's like your Down syndrome, your autism, and all that kind of stuff too. So I've been doing that, you know, a bit of health and safety, some factory work here and there. But overall, like, that's kind of what I do now. And yeah, so that's kind of a nutshell of what happened high school, post-secondary.
Nice, man. Do you want to kind of introduce, so first of all, when did you finish? Like, just for a timeline, like how old were you?
I finished high school in 2004 and I finished university in 2008. And then I've been working kind of like in the group home sector with Kids with Autism for over a decade now. And it's crazy to kind of think like, you know, that was over 15, 16 years ago. And now here we are in 2024. So yeah, it's been quite a journey. It's been fun. You know, I never saw myself, you know, working in a group home setting. You know, I just fell in love with it. I remember one of the guys that I was living with, he was like, hey, I'm off to work. I was like, oh, like, what do you do for work? He's like, at the time, you know, I think it was like $16 an hour. And back when minimum wage was like around $10 an hour. And I was like, hey, this is great. You know, it pays, you know, extra things that I want to do.
Hell yeah.
Whether to like, you know, Sudbury Wolves game or, you know, going out for a nice meal, whatever it may be. Now there's that extra income and look good on paper too, right? So I've always been passionate about helping other people. I just didn't know, you know, how I would do it. And that's kind of how that group home thing came to be. So yeah, I've been doing that since 2008.
Nice. So you still do that to this day, right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do more like private client setting and stuff like that too. And then, you know, I've kind of started my own business, which we'll kind of get into later. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now.
So what I'm curious about is in that timeline, because there are a couple of things I do want to talk about the business stuff, and we did mention we'll get to it later because I think it falls later into the timeline. In regards to gambling is one of the main subjects we want to peel back some layers on and dive into, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm curious in your timeline, TJ, when that took over, how it kind of started. But yeah, more take us through how it started.
So how it started, it was actually, you know, when I turned 18, I remember, you know, asking my mom, hey, like, can I buy a bingo scratch ticket and stuff like that? Because, like, every time I went to the mall, you always hear, like, the like, winner, Ganya, all that kind of stuff. And, like, it just kind of, like, always caught my attention. I'm like, oh, like, what's going on kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it started with the scratch ticket. And then back in the day before, you know, the internet fiasco happened, you actually had to go physically into a store, a convenience store, where Proline was being sold. So that's kind of where it all started. You know, I've always had a passion for sports. And I remember when I put in my first Proline ticket, I was like, okay, cool, like whatever. I have to pick 3 to 6 games. You know, I have to wager $2 to $100 and then I can win X amount of dollars, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember my biggest win was like $500, something like that. And I remember buying a PS2 with it. And a Guitar Hero, but you know, from there I was like, you know, kind of went on a losing streak because I'm like, you know, you have to win all 3 or 4 games or whatever you choose, and one wrong wager or, you know, bet, and it's all gone, right?
Right.
And so, you know, fast forward a little bit to like the university days, that's when, you know, the internet kind of became a bigger thing and whatever, and so websites came into play. And I remember getting into Bet365, Betway kind of thing, which are kind of like the bigger ones around the world, across the globe. And initially, you know, before smartphones now have become a huge, huge thing, I was like, hey, you know, let's do this website thing. You know, I'd always be on my laptop, you know, skipping school, missing classes because, you know, either I had stayed up late because of, you know, placing bets or, you know, it was like a 10 p.m. game and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it started off with like, you know, 10, 20 bucks per bet. And I was like, okay, like, you know, cool. I made like $4 or $5 or whatever it was. And I was like, yeah, that's nice. It pays the bills. I don't have to go to work, slave away, whatever it may be. And then, you know, 10 became 20, 20 became 50, and it became like a snowball effect. And before I knew it, you know, all my group home money that I was making, and I was making pretty good money, like $1,200, $1,500 a week, depending on how many hours I was working. And, you know, I was paying off my rents and stuff like that and doing all these things. But then I was like, hey, like, where's all this money? How come I'm not saving like all the other people my age? And it's because I was spending basically 90% of my paychecks on funding my accounts, right?
Come on, man.
Yeah, it was crazy, right? And so like I would purposely not eat food or, you know, miss out on certain events that people were inviting me to. And before you know it, those people stopped inviting me because they're like, well, you know, why should I bother inviting him if he's just going to brush us off or whatever it is. And I was so immersed in the gambling that it kind of just like took over. I would say probably around like between 2015 to 2018 was kind of like the biggest peak of the gambling, you know, era, I guess you can call it. And, you know, hundreds of dollars became thousands of dollars, right? And because I was using 90% or more of my, you know, group home money, then I was going to payday loans. I was borrowing from friends and, you know, I would make up these stupid excuses. It could be like, hey, Glenn, I actually need like $50 for groceries. I didn't get paid yet from my work, or, you know, the bank account, my bank didn't, you know, go through yet.
Yeah.
But eventually people caught on to this, right? They're like, yo, like, why is your group, like, that's not legal. Like, you should do something about it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm looking into it. Don't worry. Whatever, whatever. And, you know, it all took over like manipulation and, you know, taking advantage of the trust that I had with these so-called friends or acquaintances or coworkers.
Okay. My question, sorry, I want to interject.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was the most you ever borrowed from somebody for that?
Only $500. $500 was, yeah, it was the most. And then like, I remember payday loans was like $1,500, but those things, every $100, you know, you have to pay back 21%. So like, yeah, you're getting, you know, $1,000 or whatever, but now you're paying $200-$300 or more back to these payday loans. So yeah, it was like, you know, the friends borrowing $50 to $500, that kind of range plus the payday loan. So now you have two people that you have to pay back.
That's stressful.
And yeah, it was stressful because I'm like, okay, I this week on my betting, I need to make X amount just to pay off these people and the payday. Not even like profits, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just got really bad. And like, you know, I would always be chasing the losses as well, right? And then when the websites became apps, you know, I was always like staying home. And, you know, at the time I was living by myself too, right? So, you know, it was the best way to, okay, let's line into my bank account and see how much I have. Okay, I'm going to put in X amount of dollars mm-hmm. and stay until 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And I would lose sleep knowing like, hey, what tomorrow there's going to be like 10 games that I can potentially make money on. Mm-hmm. And I was overthinking so much that I was overstimulated and not even sleeping properly anyway. So I would maybe get like 3-4 hours on a good day, right? And because mm-hmm. it is now 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, it's crazy how, you know, they're adding new leagues day in and day out. So yeah, that's kind of where it really took off and really got really bad.
What freaks me out, TJ, about all this is it's now everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just let it kind of gloss by. But
yeah,
the more, dude, I go on any YouTube ad for yep. a video, right? This morning, listening to a podcast, I yep. go and I hear, oh, you know, MGM Casino, right? Ad for it. You know, mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx, Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
And then the video comes and they go, hey, welcome back to so-and-so, brought to you by, you know, so-and-so sports and entertainment,
right?
You know, and this gambling, you know, fill in the blank. And I'm like, I just got two to three ads for different gambling platforms in the span of 30 seconds.
It's everywhere. And the scary part is, you know, now that you kind of mentioned that as well, it's like every billboard and every corner you kind of drive, you're seeing these billboards or these even big tournaments, right? Like, I'm big into curling, mm-hmm. you know, I before, and you know, there's even like sanctioned tournaments that are sponsored by these specific gambling websites. And you're like, mm-hmm. now if you're watching, even if whether you're live or watching on TV, they're flashing everywhere before your eyes, or the billboards. Like, even yesterday when I was driving with my wife, we were going to the market and I knew like where these billboards are, and I'm like purposely trying to avoid where I know billboards are because I know potentially there's going to be flashing. But as we were speaking about, you know, what I'm going to say in today's podcast, boom, you know, the score bet shows up.
Yeah.
And there's times where I'm like, okay, like, great, it's just another ad. But then there's days where it almost makes you relapse. And don't get me wrong, like, I have relapsed before, but like, it's one of those things where it's everywhere. And like, even big sports teams are being sponsored by these websites, or even pro athletes are in-game betting themselves and betting mm-hmm. on themselves, or betting on, you know, teammates, or getting other people to open their account. And yeah. It's just like becoming such a big thing that it's almost ruining sports for itself, because, you know, people are purposely, you know, dictating the game, or refs are dictating the game because they may or may not have a wager on the game, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's really scary, especially the fact like there's a lot of, you know, athletes and stars that, you know, young people are looking up to that, like, hey, you know, so-and-so is, you know, the face of whatever website it is, and boom, they're like, hey, well, if this person's doing it, must be okay.
Right. Maybe.
Right. So I think that's the scary part. And like, you know, I think a lot of people, for myself, especially when I was at my peak of, you know, borrowing money and losing friends and relationships because of, you know, the scariness, because alongside with like gambling, right, goes lying and deceit, right? Mm-hmm. And they kind of went hand in hand. So yes, I'm losing sleep on, hey, what bet am I going to make tomorrow? But it's also the lies that you get kind of caught up with in terms of, you know, how am I going to lie to whoever it may be to get X amount of dollars? And it became so scary that, mm-hmm. you know, I was losing a lot of weight. Eventually, one by one, the friends, the coworkers, you know, left. And I'm just like, why are people leaving? Like, I was confused. It started stressing me out, depressing me and stuff like that. Right. So yeah, it was crazy.
Oh man. When, how long ago has it been since, you know, this is like, hey, I've have an end to this. So before you answer that though, while you think about that, I want to point out what's cool about people. I mentioned it this morning, on a different show, but what inspires me and what I think allows for people like you to have a story to tell is that you haven't gone back. Mm-hmm. So you're not just every 8 months relapsing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's you go into this, you have the failures, you have the, you know, the boring money, like you see the extreme side of it in a in the most negative ways. You see how it impacts, and then you come out of it the other side,
right?
And you don't fall back into that pit.
Yeah,
that's what I think makes what you're doing, and we'll touch on it shortly. And that's what I think really makes the story impactful is that TJ, you're not just falling back into it. Yeah, man, I relapsed in 2 weeks. It's like, I don't know if you saw this recently. There was a guy that did Joe Rogan's podcast, and he did the thing on prison reform. And he went on, talked about prison reform, and then 2 weeks later was arrested for murder.
Wow.
So it kind of conflicts the whole prison reform thing. Wow. I was innocent, right? So that's what I'm that's what I'm referring to with you. That's really cool about your story and how that's able to be impactful. Cause I don't think it would carry the same weight if you just kept relapsing.
For sure. Yeah. Right? And I think for me, the realization of when I hit rock bottom with the whole gambling thing was two things. My mom saying like, hey, you know, I'm willing to pay for professional help. And, you know, when you're an addict and it gets so deep and so, you know, you're so lost, right? And you feel like, hey, I'm alone. I'm the only person. No one else is going through this. No one else will understand. And I just remember like my mom's like, hey, you know, whenever you need it, I'll pay whatever amount it is. And then combine that with, I remember one of my friends, he's like, you know what? Like, it's so scary, the lies that you're telling people, that you're caught up in your own lies. Like, I can't associate with you anymore. Please don't contact me anymore.
Jesus.
Between like my mom saying, hey, you need help, I'll pay for it, and this guy saying all this, I was like, shit, I better do something before I get myself, you know, deeper into trouble, potentially even prison for, you know, scamming, frauding, whatever it may be.
Stealing. Like, thankfully it didn't come to a point where you're
right? You know, thankfully I didn't have to shoplift or, you know, do whatever it was. But I'm like, man, like, okay, you know, I need to wake up. That was, to me, was rock bottom. Between the two of them, I was like, okay. And then, so I remember reaching out to my mom. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to do this. Like, I was in denial for probably 10 plus years, right? I'm just like, whatever, I don't want to hear it. Because, you know, like, we always get from our parents, like, that nagging, like, blah, blah, blah. Like,
we think we know best,
Exactly, right? And I was like, okay, sure, whatever you say. But I was like, okay, after my friend at the time said that, I was like, okay, I really need to get help, because otherwise, God knows where I'd be, right? I could potentially even get killed for, you know, scamming people, right? And so I was like, okay, mom, sign me up for this thing. And I remember going to counseling, you know, there was one-on-one counseling, and, you know, she gave me all these groups. And people out there need to know that there are resources, you know, on the internet. You just have to, A, face the fact, like, hey, that you have a problem, and B, seek the help, right? And so, like, I found all these resources. You know, the counselor even said, hey, you know, there's things like beta blocker and stuff like that that can prevent you from going on these websites, or they'll send an alert to you saying, like, hey, you're not allowed on these websites. And on top of that, I allowed, you know, my mom to check, hey, you know, what is your history on your laptop, on your phone, to kind of hold me accountable. And I think that's what people need if they are going through an addiction, especially a sports addiction. I had full range to go into my bank account. So I was like, whatever, no one else knows what I have coming in, going out, whatever, that's on me, right? But now that I have a wife in my life, I was like, you know what, I don't want any control of my finances. If I need something, I'm gonna have to ask you for it, and I have to show proof of it.
Yeah, it gets vetted.
Exactly. It gets vetted, the questions, and it's accountability for myself and to keep the relationship.
I like that a lot.
And I think that's something that people need to understand that, hey, you know, find someone that is going to take you for who you are, right? Like, honestly, like after I lost all these friends, I lost all this money. I'm like, you know, who's going to date me? Who's going to marry me if I have nothing to show for, right? You know, I have friends having kids, you know, buying these houses, going on these trips. And I'm like, well, what am I doing here? You know, I have $5 to my name. Yeah. I'm negative at times, right? Because of all the payday loans. And full transparency, like I had to declare into debt consolidation because of the fact that there's so much consumption of debt that I'm like, I'm never going to be able to pay this off, mm-hmm. right? So now, thankfully, within a year, I'll be kind of like clean slate, and then 2025 be able to start fresh. Like it's almost like nothing happened, right? But there's so many lessons to be learned from gambling and the dopamine effect of, you know, wanting to place that bet and stuff like that. It's just like, you know, you think that it only affects you, your finances, your health and all that kind of stuff. But now looking back at it, it's like, man, like I affected relationships, friends, past girlfriends, parents, like whatever. And, you know, it is what it is, but it's like, okay, you know, what can I do better to not go back to that life that I once was, right?
Right. And
yeah, it's crazy how like now that I've kind of broke free from those chains, you know, you feel like a different person. You feel that weight that's lifted off your shoulders. And I think a lot of times people think, hey, you know, going gambling, sports gambling, it's fast money. Maybe you might get lucky and go on a little streak. Sure. That's happened to me. Yes. But there's also the other side of things where you go on a huge losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
And you're chasing all the hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And you're like, okay, where am I going to find that $500 that I just lost? And you overbet, you know, you think like, okay, I'm going to do a parlay bet to win $1,000. And then you lose it all. And now you're even deeper in a hole than you once were, right? If you had stopped. So
right.
I think, you know, people knowing that there's resources out there and getting an accountability partner, I think that's what people need for those who are kind of struggling with that.
I really like that. And I think the whole idea with the vices and letting those take over, I think they become an issue when I don't think gambling on sports is bad. I think when you like, if you come on once every other time you want, you're like, oh man, yeah, I put $50 yeah. on this because I yeah. like so-and-so, you know, fine.
Yeah.
But where it's bad is when you have to.
Exactly. Right. And I agree with you on that in terms of like the moderation. Like I know a lot of times, you know, for example, if it's like a friend's birthday, you know, people go out, spend $25, $50.
Yeah. Go to the casino, have some fun.
Exactly. You know, have fun. It's someone's birthday and stuff like that. And I think a lot of times too, like where, you know, it takes away from the sport itself is like when people, let's say, you know, you're gathering a lot of people at someone's house mm-hmm. for like Super Bowl or something big, right? March Madness that's going on right now.
Yes.
And, you know, you're kind of sitting in the corner. And I remember doing this myself, you know, just sitting in the corner and like, okay, what bet am I going to place? But you're not in the moment with the people that have invited you over.
Mm.
And it's not on you. Plus you're so immersed phone that people are like, yo, like, why did we even invite this person?
Because
he's not even present with us, right?
Right.
And it's also when you actually go to a live event, right? Like you can't enjoy the play that's unfolding, or you miss a goal, or you miss a fight, or whatever it may be, whatever the sport mm-hmm. is, because you're so focused on, okay, scrolling through your phone, finding those bets, finding the game. And it's the same thing, right? The people that you're with, you're not present with them, and on top of that you're missing the atmosphere, the environment of why you've paid X amount of dollars to be, you know, at that game,
right?
You might as well have just stayed home and not spent $40 plus food or whatever it may be,
right? Yeah,
so there's that as well.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I think there's something to be said for that. And the very interesting thing about this conversation is kind of that difference in moderation, right? I look at it, I compare it to if like drinking a glass of wine at night doesn't make you an alcoholic,
right?
But having to have that glass of wine every night right. does.
Yeah.
right? It's if you're able to kind of, if you don't let the vices, and I brought this up a few minutes ago, but I want to highlight it. If you don't let the vices control you,
right,
then they, you can kind of manage it, right? You do that so that you could take the stresses away from life, right? Get, like you said earlier, referring to the fancy trigger word of dopamine, right? You kind of let that, you're like, oh man, I got my quick fix. I got my quick fix. Oh, I feel like crap. Let's keep gambling because I feel good because I might win. And that like sense of anticipation of, oh, I might win and I might get this feeling keeps you coming back.
Exactly. And that's what it was. It was like, okay, you're always wanting more and more and more. And it just kind of stacked on each other. It's like, okay, you know, kind of what you just mentioned. It's like you have that urge all the time. It's like, okay, how much can I win today? And it was always like the dollar signs were in your eyes. You're like, okay, can I win $500 today? Oh, if there's a big game. And the thing is, like, a lot of times when you're a sports gambler, you think you know it all, right? You know, you're doing all the, I remember it got so bad. Like, I was doing Excel files of like percentages of different sports, different teams. Like, you know, I was even researching like the starting goalies of the hockey, you know, the player injuries. Like, it got so in depth. I had like notebooks upon notebooks of, you know, how to really get ahead of the game, or so I thought, but it wasn't the case, right? Like, just because you think like, you know, the first place team is playing the 16th ranked team in say March Madness, you're like, oh, that's a shoo-in, no problem, they're gonna win by 20, and then you lose, right? And it's like stuff like that. But yeah, like I was so immersed in the research that, you know, I would be calling in sick to work. I remember losing a couple jobs just because they're like, hey, you know, you're not reliable anymore. You know, you might as well just, you know, just find something else, right? This isn't going to work out. And it was like those things along with like the mom and the friend thing that I'm like, okay, like, what am I doing with my life? Like, what was my purpose? Because at the time, right, I was impacting people, but not in a good way. I was
like, negatively.
And negatively, right? You know, and I even saw like people's relationships kind of suffering, right? Like, I remember, you know, that friend that I spoke about, you know, he was married and she was kind of like, you know, why are you helping him? Like, this is stupid. And I saw the strain on their marriage and like that guilt, right? Like, now looking back, I'm like, damn, like
I feel that earlier.
It wasn't like, it's not just affecting me, it's affecting multiple people. It's like a ripple effect, right?
Right.
And so I think people need to realize like when they're in a sports addiction, there's other people involved. There's other, you know, variables that they have to be aware and cognizant about.
What's interesting is I hear you talk about having all the notebooks, having all the get ahead information, almost kind of looking at it as if it's investing in a like stock. Like when I hear the way you approached it with all the numbers and the percentages and the algorithms, I think to it as like, oh man, why doesn't he just like, you know, take that and apply it to stock or something like of the sort that is kind of at least mildly more predictable? Cause it seems to be like what, and we're going to segue this is, I especially think too with you and like crypto and stuff is that, and investing is the, you can predict it more likely and it seems to fall into patterns. Whereas sports and anything live like that, like, it's more chance. It's all chance, right? You never know. You can't predict the future, but you can read patterns, right?
Exactly. And you know, that's, it's kind of funny you talked about, like, I was always a numbers guy in school. Like, math was always like my favorite subject, anything analytical and stuff like that. And
it just made sense to you, eh?
Yeah, it just made sense to me. It clicked for me. And yeah, like, that's why, you know, after, you know, I went through the rehab, the counseling, the groups and stuff like that. And like the groups really helped to help me see, you know, that, hey, A, I'm not alone. And B, I can share my story as I am today.
Absolutely. Saying,
you know, I screwed up, but hey, what can I do to impact people in a positive way?
Right.
And I remember about 5 years ago, that's when I found, you know, trading and investing. And, you know, recently, a couple of years ago, I actually started my own company where now we're helping people, like you said, you know, predict those patterns, you know, and, you know, help them understand what to look for instead of, you know, that 50-50 coin toss that we talked about earlier with sports gambling. And now I have a purpose, right? The purpose is helping impact people in a positive way of how they can get ahead in life, right? Because I think we can all agree here that inflation and everything is going up, but most people's paychecks are not, right? So help give people the education and the opportunity to really get ahead of the curve, right? Or so we hope. And that's really the purpose of our academy, RFG, is to help people, you know, explore other options other than the regular 9-to-5. And I'm not saying, you know, a job isn't, you know, the worst thing, but I'm saying, you know, there's other opportunities where people, instead of working 2, 3, 4 jobs where, you know, you're not spending time with your kids or even on yourself, right? I think the most important part here is, you know, people focus so much on, you know, feeding their kids or putting a shelter over that they forget to look after themselves, right? And to give them an opportunity where they can not have to work the 3 or 4 jobs and be able to spend more time on themselves, you know, things that they enjoy. And if, especially if they have a family, you know, spend time with their kids, right? And so that's the purpose of why, you know, I co-found this opportunity for people to really see that there's more to life and there's more options online that you can, like you and I are, sitting at home to make money and understand the education behind it.
Talk to me about RFG. Like, how did it begin? Like, so, tell me, take us through the timeline of that from then to now.
Then we like I was saying, about 5 years ago, I had started the trading investing space. And then the guy that actually brought me on, he's like, hey, we're going to join forces with another team. And that's when like all these three teams kind of merged together to become RFG. And now in today's age, you know, we have way more to just the investing and in crypto side. But, you know, I think for me, that was like the TSN turning point for me was like, hey, you know, I have gold in my hand. How many people am I going to help, you know, pass along the torch? It's like the Olympic relay, right? Like passing the torch one person to another and lighting the fire in other people's lives in a positive way and helping them, you know, break through whatever that is that they have to break through, right? Like pay off some debt, you know, buy that house that they've always wanted, right? Like that's really the impact for me. And knowing that, you know, I was part of someone's success story, right? It's it's not about the money for me. It's about, hey, you know, how did I help Joe, you know, get his house? How did I help Sarah, you know, be able to travel the world and stuff like that? And that to me, I was like, okay, I finally found a purpose in my life in a positive way, because I'm like, hey, you know, I'm impacting this person in whatever way I can, whether it's a little thing or a big thing, right? And to me, that satisfaction gives me kind of like that same or similar release of that dopamine that I was getting with gambling. I'm like that just happy, you know, feeling on cloud nine feeling, without having to go back to what I was doing. So, yeah.
I love that. That's awesome. It sounds to me too, like you're playing into the skill sets you have.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for me, like, I feel like I'm a very personal person, you know, very approachable person. I think, you know,
yeah, I'd say so.
The analytical numbers kind of thing, plus the whole, hey, how many people can I impact? It was like RFG became that perfect, you know, combination, I guess you can call it. And, you know, I would do this forever until the day I die, just because I know that A, it's going to keep me out of the gambling side of things, which I've always wanted to get out of. I just didn't know how. And then now it's like, okay, you know, how many people I'm going to help so that I don't have to fall back to plan B, which I never want to do. So, yeah.
So it's consulting.
Yeah. It's more like consulting education, you know, giving people options of like how many, you know, a lot of people have the problem of living paycheck to paycheck, right? And so we're trying to help people solve whatever problem that they have, right? And, you know, finding a solution. So if people are wanting to build their health, right? We have a health side of things. If people want to travel more, we have the travel side of things where they can save travel. So it's not just the investing, the trading, crypto side, because let's talk to ourselves. Unfortunately, there's a lot of scams and, you know, empty promises of people like, hey.
That was my thing when I first like looked into it. That was my hesitation, TJ, when I looked into you and I looked into it. As soon as I see crypto, because that's exactly my thought. I'm like, nah, it seems a bit scammy.
Exactly. And so
unfortunate. It's not your fault, right?
Exactly. And so people have this like fear, I guess, of like, hey, you know, who's going to scam me next? Or anytime they see like these trigger words, I'll call them like crypto, Bitcoin, XRP, NFT. NFTs, yeah, right?
It's a huge preconceived notion that it's like you're going to lose money.
Right. And like, because they're they themselves or someone that they know was scammed or had a really bad experience, then right then and there, anytime they hear these trigger words, they're like, no, they're the barrier and that kind of like, you know, no thank you goes up. And which I completely understand because I've been there where, you know, I was scammed like, hey, you know, give me $500. I promise to flip that to $1,500 tomorrow, right? And so the good part about our academy is like, we never touch people's money, right? Like we're going to provide you the education. You're going to pay X amount of dollars for an education. It's like going to college or university, but you go at your own pace. It's a self, you know, independent thing. Yes, we're going to help you once you kind of begin your journey, and we're going to still help you for as long as you want. But the good part about this is like, we're never going to be like, hey, Glenn, you know, tomorrow your $500 is going to turn to $5,000, or, you know, your NFT is going to become number one, right? That's where the education comes into play. And like I was saying too, right? Like it's not just trading in crypto, because let's be honest, like a lot of people, numbers aren't their thing, right? Like I know a lot of people like in my network that, you know, math or numbers or seeing all these charts, it gets very overwhelming. It's like, for me, English was never my, you know, favorite stuff in school. So like that to me was like information overload, having to read about Shakespeare and all that kind of crap. So it could be the same thing. You know, it's basically learning a new language, right? And a lot of people, they just don't have it in them to do that. But the good part and the cool part is, like I was saying earlier, there's like, you know, the fitness, there's like hotel passes, travel passes that, you know, I feel like we have everything under one umbrella that people can really utilize. And yeah, so I think it's a great opportunity for people for sure.
Talk to me how, if somebody was interested and they say, hey, I'm interested in travel.
Right.
That's the last thing you said. We'll go with that.
Yeah, cool. Sure.
How would they go from step one to like seeing the benefit of it, where you guys make money because it's a business and they save or make?
Yeah, so
at least in that space, probably don't make, but they probably save.
Yeah, no, you know, and the thing is, we don't really make that much. Like it might be like $25 for a sign up, which most of the time, I'll be honest, I give back to the person to be like, hey, Glenn, you know, here's your $25, you know, put it towards whatever you need to do, right? In terms of that, like, let's just say you tell me, hey, you know, I'm interested in travel. We get on a call just like this, or, you know, we'd send you a video to kind of explain. And then we'd hop on a call and be like, hey, you know, what did you like best? You know, how do you feel this would benefit you? And we kind of, you know, extrapolate how that would help you and whatnot. And the cool part about travel is like, you know, you save up to 60% on your hotels, your rental cars, and you get a trip out of it every year to be part of this VIP club. And, you know, a lot of people also don't realize, like, once you kind of see the results, you're kind of like living a different lifestyle too, right? Like say, for example, you know, you're posting things on, you know, you traveling to, whether it's Toronto or overseas to Europe, right? People are like, hey, you know, how are you traveling so much? And that's like your opportunity to kind of tell them, you know, I'm part of this group, whatever, whatever, right? And the other good part about this is like, it's an educational platform. So there's the tax write-offs, the business write-offs that people don't really see and understand, but like we help people in every step of the way. We have a website that kind of breaks down everything. And we go super in depth. Like anytime someone gets onboarded, you know, we help them get on a call within 72 hours to make sure, hey, you know, you understand how the website works, how it's going to help you, how it's going to benefit you. And then we set out your goals and dreams. And then we kind of work together on a game plan to help you get to whatever it is, whether it's a money value or it's a new house, new car, whatever it may be, because everybody's different, right? But a very personalized and tailored opportunity for each person, for sure.
Interesting. That sounds really cool. What, give me an example of something that you've learned through this since RFG started to now. What's something that you didn't think would be possible before, but now you're like, holy shit, if it weren't for this, I would have never achieved or lifestyle changed X.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, even just being able to live in an apartment that I am right now, you know, I'm sitting in the lounge where, you know, it's about $2,500 a month for stuff like this. And like, I never thought it would be possible. You know, I thought maybe I'm going to stay with my parents for a long time until I could save for a house or, you know, live in kind of like a not so nice area and have to pay, just pay like maybe $1,000 less than what I am now.
You're down south, right?
Yeah, I'm in South London and in London, Ontario. And so, you know, the good, you know, two bedrooms are like 2,500 plus, whether it's a mortgage or rental. But then like the lower end in kind of like the not so good areas, you know, you could pay half of that, right? Mm-hmm. But you risk, you know, your
somebody's
car
breaking your car. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Exactly. So, yeah.
You know, without this opportunity, I would be able to afford, you know, a nicer lifestyle where, you know, not to say that it couldn't happen here, but, you know, I feel much safer because there's security cameras, security guards, underground parking.
Oh, come on.
Like, and, you know, a fob entry. So it's like, you know, that it's somewhat more secluded and safer. Right. And so without opportunities like this, online opportunities, right? Like some people might not ever be able to see like the bigger picture of living in a nicer building or nicer house, whatever it is that they need, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm very thankful for that, you know, I've been able to be part of this and, you know, help others along the way. And, you know, I just want to continue growing this year in more countries and just, just helping families one day at a time for sure.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
I really like that. Do you have, because I'm obsessed with the travel aspect of that.
Yeah.
How does, is it like a package deal? Is it kind of travel agent style or how does it?
Yeah, it's very similar to like Expedia, booking.com. And then for those who like are like super travelers or influencers or like businesses where, you know, they're traveling quite a bit now have, you know, more of like what I call higher ticket items. So like an unlimited flight pass, right? So let's just say, you know, Glenn, you're doing podcasts every day in a different city. Where
that's the goal, chief.
Right. And so, you know, we have like flight and hotel passes. And obviously, you know, it's like anything, right? Like if you, we can do a bundle depending on the person, right? So if you're getting like flight pass and a hotel pass, you know, maybe instead of paying like $10,000 for the flight pass and $5,000 for the hotel pass, we would make some sort of agreement to make it cheaper for you so that, you know, everybody's winning, right? Mm-hmm. And you're able to achieve your goals and whatnot. And so, yeah, like there's definitely a lot of opportunity for people to make money in some capacity for sure.
Nice, man. Yeah. I really like that. I really like that a lot. I want to circle kind of back to the gambling and maybe take with the business, stuff like that. Sure. What is some advice that you would give to somebody that might be in the shit of it with gambling, not believing that, like specifically money issues, right?
Sure.
That's what the gambling revolves around. Yeah. Now, how would you kind of coach somebody out of that? Like, what is the advice you would kind of give? It could be general, it could be specific to a person or a situation or somebody with same issues, like same issue that you went through. But how would you kind of advise them?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, you know, and I love that question because I was actually going to circle back to this as well. I think the advice for me too is like, you know, take a step back in the mirror and kind of like look at, hey, you know, what do I want to do in life? Like, what am I doing right now, you know, that I could be doing, but I'm not doing because I'm so immersed in gambling. I'm so immersed in, you know, myself, right? Like, am I going out more with people? And you kind of have to see the bigger picture because I think a lot of the times when people are in gambling or in that gambling tunnel vision mode, it's like nothing else matters except for your phone, your laptop, and the TV, right? If you have a TV. And so I think my advice is you know, have an accountability partner, right?
That's the one, yeah.
Right? Starts with one. Because I think a lot of times, like, you know, I'll use myself, is like, I had full control of everything, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't care. But if you have someone who's accountable that, you know, you could give your phone to today and be like, hey, check my bank account. Look, I didn't place any, or I didn't, you know, fund my accounts, or, you know, do anything like that. And, you know, don't avoid going to get a line of credit, you know, credit cards and stuff like that. Those, that's not your money, right? And I think I made that big mistake of, hey, I'm going to go to a payday loan. I'm going to call for a line of credit, get a credit card, maxed right out everything. And there's all these percentages and you're not getting ahead. You're making yourself more in debt, right? And I think, you know, when you kind of take a step back and like, hey, you know, I'm such and such years old, right? Like at the time I was like early 30s. I'm like, I have nothing to show for. And I think when people can kind of see like, where am I? Like, why am I not where I need to be? And they see other people on social media starting new chapters of their lives, whether it's a marriage, a kid, whatever it may be.
It's tough.
Hopefully, right? Like that'll kind of be that wake up call. Like that was me, like kind of like the tipping point, but it didn't do enough. And so I think sometimes when people like, you know, let's just say, you know, I'm always inviting Bob and he's not really, you know, taking my invite all the time, I'm going to kind of keep that in the back of my mind. So like, if you know people, right, like it's reverse the roles here for a second, right? It's like, because I've been there, if I see people kind of like secluding themselves or taking that invite, I'm going to try and like offer that, like, hey, you know, if you ever need anything, I don't know what you're going through, but, you know, feel free to reach out to me, call me, text me. And I think a lot of people need to do that for people who may or may not be going through some sort of addiction, because, you know, especially a gambler, right? Whether it's a sports gambler, they think, oh man, people are going to judge me. Like I'll tell you from my point of view, like I thought people were going to judge me. So I never reached out to someone, or I never, you know, admitted, you know, that I was doing that. So I think for me, the advice would be, you know, try and have some sort of control, right? Like, you know, we talked about the moderation thing, or, you know, maybe put like a security block on your bank account, where if you spent over $200 of your budget, to kind of like, that's going to be like your security warning and stuff like that.
Yeah. Cuts you off.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I think between that and hopefully finding some sort of someone that you can trust and confide in and be like, hey, listen, like I'm struggling. Right. Or seeking resources. Like, you know, I know for me, like I go to church and stuff like that too. So like, there's a lot of free resources there as well that, you know, a pastor or a Celebrate Recovery kind of thing, where people kind of just share their story. And I think, you know, people just need to realize like, hey, you're not alone, right? And just, yeah, like just figure out, you know, why you are where you are and how you can stop that, and just kind of like call up help kind of thing, like kind of what I did to my mom. I'm like, I remember that phone call. I'm like, Mom, I'm ready to come home. I'm going to go, like, as soon as I unpack my bags, you and I will go to this resource place. I'm going to sign up, do whatever I need to do, and do the 12-week program. And I remember after I graduated from that program, it was like the best feeling ever, knowing that, hey, you know, I now have the resources on what I need to do. So whether it's blocking websites, accountability, whatever it is. And I'm grateful like that my wife took me for who I am, because a lot of times when you're a gambler and you're an addict, you're afraid that no one's going to take you for who you are, especially right, when it comes to relationships and marriage. And so when she married into me, it was like, hey, you know, I'm marrying an addict. And I remember the conversation where she found out that I was an addict. I was like, I can't lie to anybody anymore. Like I wanted to stop because it was eating me inside. Like I was losing weight. Like I looked like a skeleton, like straight up, and like bones and stuff like that, because I wasn't eating, right? And I was lying, gambling, the whole nine yards. I'm like, listen, right now you can either continue this relationship or we're done. And she's like, no, I'm going to take you for who you are. I'm going to help you, but you need to promise me X, Y, and Z, right? So it came up with giving up control, right? You know, the banking, right? Like now it's just one account and she'll get a notification if something gets spent. And I have to literally prove like, hey, I just bought this Pepsi, right? For $2.25 or whatever it was, and show receipt, right? So I think that goes with the accountability and stuff like that too, right? And so just know that you're not alone and just reach out for help. And so like she took me for who I was. She's like, you know, I'm going to go myself to an addictions, like how to help an addict, right? And so I think that's really helpful. Wow. So if families or friends know someone who's going through that, you know, try and find resources where you can ask the right questions, because if you ask the wrong questions, it's just going to make things worse for the addict themselves. Yeah. And we've also found things where it gives me this same release as that kind of dopamine effect that I had from gambling. And I found out, you know, even yesterday we were talking about it. I'm like, honestly, I just have to walk through a mall, go window shopping, or, you know, go to the arcade or whatever it is. And I have the same effect as that online. Amazing. So, you know, people need to find other hobbies and interests that'll keep them occupied enough that they're not secluded, because all this came down to boredom, seclusion, and not having a job at the time. I'm like, hey, how am I going to fund, you know, eating, rent, my car without having a job? Well, this is the easiest way, but it's not the best way, right? Yeah. And so I think if people don't have a job, and especially nowadays where times are getting really stressful for people, this might be that resource that people go to make that quick money. And it's not the right way. If I'm very honest, it's like, you're going to get these habits and addictions that it's very hard, and it takes a lot of years to unravel and unlearn, right? Like for me, it took me over 4 years to really unlearn. And do I have days where I have relapsed in those 4 years? Absolutely. But now it's a lot better. And, you know, I found a safe space with my wife where I'm like, listen, I had an urge today. This is what happened. This is how it happened. And because she's developed that safe space, if I tell her the truth, it's a lot better than if she finds out by going on the history of my phone or my laptop, right?
Yeah, that's huge.
Huge, right? Like that's a make or break. And like, we've even had a conversation where, hey, if this continues, this marriage could be over. Right.
Yeah.
So I think people need to, you know, if, like I said, if they know people who are going through an addiction, find that safe space, find that safe environment where people can reach out to them. And vice versa, if you're the addict themselves, right? Like figure out, like, you know, other things, like I was saying earlier, to preoccupy yourself so that you're not having that urge, or, you know, finding other things that can kind of like keep your mind off of it, right? Whether it's going for a run or going to the mall, whatever it may be, right? Everybody's different. But I think, you know, I think if people can find more and more hobbies and interests, the longer the list, the better, because then, you know, let's just say today there's no sporting event that could keep your mind off of it, or concert, right? Sports a bad example, but like a concert, right? Then maybe it's church, or, you know, you and I going to work out at the gym.
Yeah, it could be something. It doesn't have to be major, right? You don't need to have 15 people over at your house.
Yeah,
you can just go for a walk with a buddy.
Money, right? Like you don't even have to spend money, right? Or like, you know, I remember when I was kind of getting out of the gambling thing, right? Like offering to, you know, drive someone somewhere, right? Where you're off your phone, because obviously you can text and drive, right?
That's a good one, yeah.
You know, things like that, or, you know, offering to look after someone's kids or walk their dog, whatever it may be, where you have to be in the moment, looking after the kids or walking the dog or driving someone to wherever they're going, right? And I think once you can develop that good habit, eventually, you know, you don't even think about it as much. You still might, but like for me, now that I've preoccupied myself with, you know, my job, you know, the company, my wife, my dog, sure, there's still days where I'm like, oh, maybe I should, oh no. And then it takes me back to that safe space. Hey, what are the consequences if I go back, you know?
Right.
So I think people need to realize like, hey, how are my gambling addictions and habits really, what are the consequences? Not just for myself, but for my future self, right? And, you know, people don't need to, you know, beat themselves up for being an addict. Like, I remember beating myself up for being an addict. I'm like, man, like, I'm an idiot. Like, I'm so stupid. Like, I had a house by now. I could have traveled the world.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, you know, don't let your past predict your future. Like, yeah, sure, you were there. And this is who you are now. But like, what's your future looking like? And I think that's the biggest thing of why I also developed the company. It's like, hey, you know, I want to use my story of why I started what I'm starting now, because now that I'm so preoccupied with the entrepreneur side of things, like I was saying to you earlier, Glenn, like, I don't even think about that urge anymore. You know, sure, I'm going to watch sports because that's something I love.
Yeah.
But I'm actually being able to enjoy what's going on.
Amazing. You know,
or whatever it is. Like, if I'm going to a live event with someone, you know, my phone's in my pocket and I'm present with whoever I am with. Right. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's amazing, dude. That's amazing.
It's honestly been like a roller coaster journey, but, you know, I just want to say to people who are listening to your podcast, it's like, you know, you can get out of it. It's just a matter of when, right? Like, everybody has a different story to tell, but know that there's free resources out there, you know, and find someone that you can trust, right? And I think a lot of people are like, oh man, counseling is going to be so expensive. I don't have benefits. I can't cover it. There are many, many resources out there that people can kind of go through, you know, on the Canadian government website, you know, go to a local church, right? And they have like Celebrate Recovery programs where people can go through a 12-week program and kind of start there, right? Start somewhere, and just know that your money can be spent elsewhere, right?
Yeah.
On other things that you're passionate about and not throwing things away.
So you mentioned trust and that being important.
Yeah.
I want to express my gratitude for you being able to trust me today to share your story, spread that message, and just being able to be as vulnerable sharing what has happened to you. And it's such a cool thing that's a part of you that's now something that you can look back on and go, how could I use this to benefit other people? And I love that that's how your story is playing out.
And so, I appreciate, you know, you letting me be on this thing, because I think a lot of people need to know that, hey, you know, you're not alone out there. And don't, you know, let the weight of gambling and finances really hinder who you are, because we all have a purpose and you can all learn from your mistakes, right? Like, I think, you know, a lot of people think like, oh, I could never learn from my mistakes. But yeah, you know, turn this negative situation into a positive situation. Like, what can you do differently now so that you can not go back to who you were, right? And, you know, it's been quite a journey, but, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world, because it's shaped me to who I am today. And I feel like I'm a stronger person coming out of it, to be honest, because, you know, now I have the resources, now I have the tools that I can equip myself to protect myself, but also knowing how to help other sports gambling addicts, because like we were talking about earlier, it's becoming a big thing nowadays. So
it's huge. Biggest thing. Yeah,
for sure.
All right. So do you have any final closings, thoughts, messages? You kind of mentioned a few things that I think are very, very good to put the exclamation point behind. Do that, and then roll, and we can roll the red carpet. So whenever you or whatever you have as in media to share, or where people can find you, where people can reach out, where people can work and get in contact with you, now's the time to
Sure.
Yeah, say your piece and then throw that in if you want.
Yeah. So it's funny that you talked about that on my profile on Instagram. You know, one of my messages like is to help addicts get out of, you know, where they were, right? And so if anyone wants to reach out to me, you know, they can follow me on Instagram at Mr. Worldwide, the full Mr. M-I-S-T-E-R Worldwide 29. And just shoot me a DM, be like, hey, you know, I listen to your podcast on you know, Glenn's podcast. And, you know, I really want to know more about your story. And, you know, I'm more than happy to share like my story, my resources, go more in depth, whatever people need to hear, right? Because it's going to hit people differently. And, you know, I'm more than happy to share and like, you know, give some of my advice of what I've learned from, you know, the professional counselors, you know, the pastors that I've gone through, the groups that I've gone through. And, you know, I wish that I had that back in the day. And so, you know, I wish the best for people to get out of this journey because it's not an easy thing to do. But once you get over that hump, I can promise you that it's the best feeling in the world. And, you know, you don't have to live this life, fake life that, you know, and pretend to be someone that you're not, right? Like, and that's the thing that I struggled with. And so, yeah, you know, reach out to me, whatever you need to do. I'm more than happy to get on a video call, phone call, whatever people need, or even just meeting in person if that's what people need. So that's kind of like what I'm saying here. And just don't let your past predict your future.
Man, I got nothing but love for you and what you're doing. And I'm excited to keep chatting with you in the future. So thanks for doing the show today. Yeah. And yeah, man, I'll
thank you so much.
We'll talk soon.
All right, man. Take care.
Right on. Thanks, guys.